Join me in John chapter 15. We have a message today preparing us for the communion table. Next Sunday I will begin a series in the Hallel Psalms, as I have said, Psalm 113 through 118. Before I get to my text, I would like to say welcome back. Our teens from Von Clarken are back with us this morning, all in their green shirts. Glad you made it home safely. Thank you, Julie and Derek, for taking them. Also, it's good to see our friend Tim Donnelly back with us here for a visit. And also with us this morning is Sally Higby and her husband Dick. We continue to pray for you and for the passing of your mom, Miss Mabel. A wonderful service this past Wednesday. And so we do continue to remember you in our prayers. John 15, verse 18. I will admit to you that the message here today is not a pretty one. But it is one we need to be mindful of because it was a text, a message, a teaching that our Lord Jesus gave on several occasions. And so I want to bring that to mind to you, and also some evidence that our Lord's words given, as are recorded here in John, have come true in way, way, way too many occasions. And as I am desire to do, try to make it very real and very personal. And so I have this for you. The title of the sermon here, The World Doesn't Like Us. And I actually softened that up a bit. I had first put down that the world hates us. I thought that was a little harsh, although that's exactly the message our Lord Jesus gives us here in John 15, you see on the screen. John 15, 18. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin, but now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in the law, in their law, must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. It's becoming more and more apparent, and I'm sure it is to you as well, that the church in the United States, if not around the world, but in our eyes, the church in the United States is becoming more and more marginalized. Church attendance continues to decline. And not only that, but the words spoken out against the church are becoming more and more accepted, more and more a part of our culture. The people of the church are being ostracized. Division between Christians and non-Christians, that gap is becoming more and more stark. And those who stand against the church are becoming more and more brazen because it's becoming more and more accepted. And so their voices are getting louder. Their distaste of the things of the church should not surprise us. And along with all this being pushed to the side will come more and more persecution. Subtle, perhaps, I don't think we in the United States really understand persecution, although we are recipients of it. And as I entitled the sermon, The World Doesn't Like Us. Persecution. It has always been a part of church life. And it will always be a part of the church life. until the Lord Jesus comes and takes this church home. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, many of you might remember him from your history books, coined a phrase. He said, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. Mr. Bonhoeffer was a German pastor who spoke out against Hitler's regime in the Second World War. In 1943, he spoke these very words across the airwaves of a German radio station. And soon after he uttered those words, Hitler's thugs immediately severed the power to the station, and he was unable to finish the sermon. Sometime later, Mr. Bonhoeffer was arrested and imprisoned by the German military. And in 1945, just a few weeks before the concentration camp he was in was overthrown and the prisoners set free, Heinrich Himmler, a special forces officer, murdered him. Just a couple of weeks before the concentration camp was overturned, Mr. Bonhoeffer was murdered because he spoke out against Hitler. He was murdered because he spoke out his Christian beliefs. And he spoke against, mightily, the atrocities of the Third Reich. When Christ calls a man, a person, he bids him come and die. Tertullian, another gentleman from history, although quite a bit farther back in the second century, he was a church father that stated, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Blood spilled because of belief. Blood spilled because the world hates those who speak out and take a stand on their beliefs. Bonhoeffer was neither the first nor the last to be murdered for his belief. I don't do this often, and so please bear with me, but I have a few things I would like to share with you about those who have been martyred. And if you, I will only give you a few, but I have two books here that are packed of stories, and there are others. The apostles, the disciples, Apostle James, was beheaded in Jerusalem in A.D. 45. Matthew, the evangelist, in A.D. 70, was pinned to the ground and beheaded in Ethiopia. The apostle Andrew, crucified, much like our Savior, in the year 70 A.D. Thomas, tortured by natives, thrown into an oven, and then driven through with spears. Luke, the doctor, the evangelist, was hung from an olive tree in Greece. And one that just really overwhelms when you hear his story was not one of the first disciples, but was a student of the Apostle John. His name was Ignatius. In A.D. 111, he was taken to the Colosseum in Rome in a caged cart, and taken to the Colosseum, and the lions were there. And when the gate of his cart was open and he was freed, he ran toward the lions. An incredible story. And there are so many others. There's one I would like to read you, and I said, as I said, I beg your patience. I don't typically read to you, but these stories are overwhelming. In the mid-1500s, two gentlemen by the names of Ridley and Latimer, Nicholas Ridley, Hugh Latimer, were arrested for preaching the gospel. They were asked to deny Christ and to recant their preaching. And here I read. Well, said Mr. Ridley, so long as there is breath in my body, I will never deny my Lord Christ and his known truth. God will be done in me. They were then commanded to make themselves ready. Dr. Ridley removed as much of his clothing as he could and gave it to the various friends in the crowd that had come to see them. Mr. Latimer, however, having nothing worth giving, asked for help in removing his stockings and was soon stripped to only his shroud. Strangely, though, in his clothing he had appeared as an old, withered man. Now he stood straight and upright, a venerable and fearless man, as pleasing in appearance as any godly father would be. Ridley held up his right hand and said, Heavenly Father, I give unto thee most hearty thanks for that thou hast called me to profess thee, even unto death. I beseech thee, Lord, have mercy upon this land of England, and deliver her from all her enemies. The executioner then circled Dr. Ridley and Mr. Latimer with a chain and fastened it to the stake. As he nailed it into the staple, Dr. Ridley took the chain in his hand and said, Good fellow, knock it in hard, for the flesh will have its way. Then his brother brought a bag to tie around his neck. Ridley asked what it was, and the brother said, Gunpowder. Then said Ridley, I take it to be sin of God, therefore I will receive it as being from God. He then, as if he had any for his brother, meaning Mr. Latimer, his brother said he did, and Ridley replied, Then give it to him quickly, lest it be too late. So his brother tied a bag of gunpowder around Latimer's neck as well. The embers were then placed around them, kindled the fire, and laid at Ridley's feet. When Latimer saw it, he said, Be of good cheer, Ridley, and play the man. We shall this day, by God's grace, light up such a candle in England as I trust will never be put out. When Ridley saw the fire flaming up toward him, he cried out with a wonderful loud voice, Lord, Lord, receive my spirit. On the other side of the stake, Latimer cried as forcefully, O Father of heaven, receive my soul. Then he stroked his face with his hands, and so it seemed, washed them a little with the fire, and he soon died, apparently with little or no pain. For Ridley, however, the fire was not burning as it should. The embers that laid on his feet that were used for kindling, they were piled too high, and so the fire burned first underneath and was contained there in the layers of wood. When Mr. Ridley felt the fire burning his underparts, he asked in Christ's name that they allow the fire to come upon him. His brother-in-law misunderstood what he said, and trying to relieve his pain, heaped more timbers on top, trying to bury the flame. This caused the trap fire underneath to burn more fiercely and burn through the lower part of his body before it touched his upper part. This caused Ridley to plead repeatedly that the fire be allowed to come upon him, saying, I cannot burn. This indeed seemed to be true, for even after his legs were consumed totally, the side that the people could see was untouched, and even his shirt was not singed. Yet even in his torment, he did not forget to call on God, saying, Lord, have mercy upon me, and intermingled those words with his cry, Let the fire come upon me, I cannot burn. He remained in this agony until one of the guards realized what was happening to him, and he used the hook of his blade, of his halberd, to pull off the top embers, which allowed Ridley the fire to flame upon him. He actually twisted himself over onto the fire, and when the fire had reached the bag of gunpowder, it exploded, and he stirred no more. The stories like this are repeated down through history, but they are not confined to the dark days of history. In 1960, a story of Pastor Florescu of Romania. The communist tortures came toward Pastor Florescu, again, this time with red hot iron pokers. Who else believes as you do? Give us their names. Florescu would not speak. They had already cut him again and again with knives and beaten him very badly. When he refused to cooperate, he was returned to his cell. Starving rats were then driven into his cell through a large pipe. He could not sleep, having to defend himself at all times. If he rested a moment, the rats would attack him. He was forced to stand for 2 weeks, day and night. The communists kept asking him to betray his brethren, but he resisted steadfastly. And this is the hardest part. In the end, they brought his 14-year-old son and began to whip the boy in front of his father, saying that they would continue to beat him until the pastor told them about what they wanted to know. The poor man was half crazy. He bore it as long as he could, but when he could stand it no more, he cried to his son, Alexander, I must tell them what they want. I can't bear your beatings anymore. The son answered, Father, don't do me the injustice of having a traitor as a parent. withstand. If they kill me, I will die with the words, Jesus and my fatherland. This enraged the communists. They grabbed the young man and beat him to death, his blood spattering over the walls of the cell. And he died praising God. As I said, I don't think we have any idea what persecution really is. But you go back and you read these stories, and they burden me that we have it so easy. However, our persecution is here. It is growing subtly without our even hardly knowing it. But why? Why are we persecuted? Why is it necessary for these things to happen? Why do these men and women, and there's plenty of stories where women are abused horribly at the hands of men persecuting them. John 15 tells us why. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of this world, the world would love you as its own. But it's because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Why are you persecuted? Because the world didn't like you. Why were these men and women killed for their faith? Because they knew they were not of this world, and they were anxious. Why did Ignatius run toward the lions? Because he knew that was his ticket out of here, and he could be with his Lord. You see, the world wants conformity. The world wants you to follow the mainstream. The world wants you to follow the pattern. But you're not of this world. You are to stand out. Peter calls us a peculiar people. Are we? Secondly, we are persecuted because the world does not know God. It does not know the one who sends us. And this is the basis for the hatred of Christianity. They have no idea who God the Father is. They have no idea of His message. They have no idea of the humiliation the Christians are to bear. They simply want to eat, drink, and be merry, as Paul picked up from the Grecian culture. It hates anything, the world hates anything that resembles God. And thirdly, we are persecuted that the Word of God might be fulfilled. All through the New Testament, Jesus speaks repeatedly of Him having to die, and those that follow Him having to die as well. It's peaceful when we get to die of old age. However, many of these that I read of did not understand the peacefulness of old age, but were willing to die as an act of worship to their Lord. Why don't we face more persecution in our personal lives? Maybe it's because we look too much like the world. We blend in just a little too well. So many churches today trying to do things in the church so as not to look distinct, so that others might feel more welcomed. Folks, the church is supposed to look weird to the pagan. Unless the work of the Holy Spirit is moving in them, they will not understand any of this. Why do Christians face persecution? Why was it necessary for Bonhoeffer to die, Dr. Ridley, Mr. Lattimore, Anne Hutchinson, the pastor's son? This table in front of you is the reason why. Our Lord Jesus had to die. Now, He died for your sin to bring justice to the Father, but He also died because the people did not accept Him. Even His own people did not accept Him. If we are truly those who stand on the truth, our people will not accept us. Brother against brother, sister against sister, parent against child, possibly, yes. John 15:20. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. I think it should worry us sometimes that the church in the United States is not persecuted more highly than it is. I don't think the world's too worried about us. They're not really threatened by us. They killed our Lord. We shouldn't expect any different. And that persecution, as I've said, can come in many ways.